Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. Nathan said to David, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king of Israel. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your lord's house and your lord's wives for your own. I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were not enough, I could count up for you still more. Why have you spurned the Lord and done evil in his sight? You have cut down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You took his wife as your own, and him you killed with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah to be your wife." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan answered David, "The Lord, on his part, has forgiven your sin. You shall not die." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, forgive the wrong I have done.
Lord, forgive the wrong I have done.
Blessed is the one whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, in whose spirit there is no guile.
Lord, forgive the wrong I have done.
I acknowledge my sin to you, my guilt I covered not. I said, "I confess my faults to the Lord," and you took away the guilt of my sin.
Lord, forgive the wrong I have done.
You are my shelter. From distress you will preserve me. With glad cries of freedom you will ring me round.
Lord, forgive the wrong I have done.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you just. Exalt all you upright of heart.
Lord, forgive the wrong I have done.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, we who know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. For through the law I died to the law, that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. He said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The others at table said to themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? But he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Afterward, he journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we welcome you to another discussion. Today we have Father Mark and myself, Dawn, here. Brian has gone on to his next step. And today we're discussing the readings. And, you know, this Gospel reading is one of my very favorites. Actually, there's a song, it's called The Alabaster Jar, and every time I hear it, it's so emotional. It tells this story from the woman's perspective of how she came in. And you know, I started thinking today about how much God uses music to speak with me. And everybody's a little bit different, but when I end up in this position of the woman being confronted by Jesus and being in the presence of Jesus and ending up in tears, it's often through music, through a song that just touches my heart, and then all of a sudden I realize how far I've run away and turned away from God, and I end up in tears, just like her. I think it's so funny how often it happens to me, and every time I say, I'll never do this again, but somehow I end up there again. What did you think about this reading, Father Mark?
Oh, it's a wonderful reading of the woman, the sinful woman, as they call her, coming into the home of the Pharisee with Christ there. And I think of the great risk that she took to be reconciled, to go into his presence. And you and I were talking about this a little earlier, about how she came behind him, and that's how she anointed his feet, was from behind, because the way he would have been relaxing and sitting at table would be really kind of sitting on the floor with his feet kind of pushed off to the side and to the back. And so she comes from behind him. And I think of how many times when you and I are, you know, when we are, you know, when we feel really bad about something that we've done, it really is hard for us to come to the person that maybe we've hurt and to look at them face to face. You know, it really is, it's hard to have that eye to eye contact because we're feeling so maybe shameful or hurt, you know, by what we've done. And to see that kind of humility in this woman as she comes behind him to do this wonderful, generous, loving act of anointing his feet, you know. And we were talking earlier about the feet, you know, and how often, you know, we really don't touch each other's feet. It's not something we would do. You go to a spa to have, you know, some kind of a pedicure or a foot massage, you know. But to think about how we can come to church and, you know, metaphorically have that kind of spa treatment where someone touches our feet, you know, God touches our feet and touches our whole being in a way that reminds us that even in our most sinful state, if I could kind of say that, that we are touched and loved by a very generous, wonderful, loving God who calls us back into his presence. You know, I was saying to you earlier about how we can, I've had conversations with people who have said, you know, coming to church is very difficult, and maybe even not coming to church, because the fact is they just feel very sinful. They feel like they've done so much wrong in their life that they don't feel worthy to come to church. And I have to kind of assure them, and I use this kind of image, that, you know, the church is really not an airport. We don't have to go through any kind of security to get into church. There's no spiritual detectors or sin detectors at the church that kind of go off and make all kinds of noises when we walk into church. That if that were the case, that every single person who walks through the doors of the church, that detector would go off.
Oh, yeah. It would be an empty church.
That's right. That's right.
You were talking earlier about loving extravagantly, and sometimes we think we have to make this huge gesture in order to be forgiven by God. And that's really not the case. This woman, she just made this simple gesture of anointing his feet. And he took her where she was and forgave. And then that's contrasted with the Pharisee, Simon, who, in, you pointed out, instead of seeing the woman who she is, he sort of saw a category of a woman. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he says, you know, when he's talking to Jesus. He says, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. So he sees her as a classification of, or a type of person. She's a sinner. And he doesn't see her as anything beyond that. He doesn't see the tears. He doesn't see the gestures. He doesn't see the wonderful love and humility that she comes with into the presence of Christ. It's almost as if he is blind to the real person that is in front of him. Almost an image of himself, you know, mm-hmm. blind to that image of himself. Because then Jesus has to kind of unfold the event that's happening through that kind of parable that he says.
Right, and then he concludes right after he asked who was forgiven more, and Simon answers the one that had the bigger debt. Jesus immediately follows up and says, you have judged correctly, and do you see this woman? And I thought that was really powerful. So he gave him the little story. Now here's the clue. So do you really see her now? And how often we do that, you know, if when you're in church and you see someone come in and maybe they don't make the right, whatever they're supposed to do at the time, make the sign of the cross, or they're not dressed properly, or you saw them out drinking the other night and acting horrible, and oh, here they are. Who do they think they are?
I think, you know, do we really see the people that that we encounter in our daily lives? You know, I think that that's really a challenge for us, is to immerse ourselves in the experience. I was talking this morning at Daily Mass during my homily about, that Jesus says to John and James, you know, can you be baptized in the same baptism that I am baptized? And the Greek word for baptism means to immerse or to plunge. So if we think about our baptism as an immersion or plunging into the life of God, well, that's a wonderful thing, you know. But how often do we immerse ourselves in that kind of life? You know, I used the image this morning in my homily about how are we the type of person that, you know, when it comes time to get into the pool or to the water, we kind of, you know, put our toe in first and it's a little cold, and then we get into our ankles and maybe our knees and we kind of take our time getting into the pool? Or are we the other person who just kind of runs and jumps and makes this big splash into the water? And I think it's always Christ who's calling us to be that second kind of person, to really plunge ourselves right into the depth of the experience.
But what if our hair gets messed up?
That is a problem, yes. Don't like my hair to get messed up. But I think that the Pharisee is the type of person who's kind of standing around the edge of the pool,
yeah.
And looking and just seeing individuals. But he's not seeing the whole experience. He's not seeing the whole person. He's not plunging himself into the depth of the experience. And I think sometimes, you know, yes, I can be the person that will stand and take my time getting into the water because I don't like the shock of the cold water, you know. But I realize that it's God who calls all of us into that baptismal experience.
Mm-hmm.
To plunge ourselves into the depth of the experience. And it's when we do that, that we really experience this extravagant love that God has for us. You know, that we see more than what's right in front of us. We see a greater depth of the experience of this forgiveness and love that we're being called to. And I think, as you said, the simplicity of it is just opening ourselves up to that.
Right.
In the first reading, it's David who says, after what's been opened in front of him of his sinfulness, all he says is, I have sinned against the Lord. There was nothing more than just that simple statement, but it's profound and very deep.
Right.
And God saw that profoundness.
This woman doesn't say a single word. And so there is no formula, really. It starts all with an open heart and wanting forgiveness.
I was down this morning. I went down to get a cup of coffee down to the bread company that I go to. And while I was there was a gentleman there who was ahead of me. And after I got my coffee, I went over to put, you know, cream and sugar in it. And he turned to me and he said, what faith tradition are you from? Because he saw my collar. Mm. And I said, I'm a Catholic priest. And he said, I'm Catholic too, but I haven't gone to church in a long time. He said, I just have gotten away from church. And he said that he is very angry with God. And it could have been very easy for me to stand there in judgment and say, well, I don't want to have any conversation with you because you've got all these kinds of issues with the church. But I found myself engaged in the conversation mm-hmm. and wanting to talk to him. You know, that wasn't in my game plan for the morning. I was just going to go get a simple cup of coffee and leave the store. But he wanted to be engaged in conversation, and he wanted to talk about some things, which I found wonderful.
Yeah.
And I found it a very deep experience. And in the end, what ended up happening is I gave him my name and phone number, and I think he's going to call me, and we're going to be able to kind of expand even more on our conversation from this morning.
You jumped right in that pool, didn't you?
I did, and I didn't mess up my hair.
Oh, phew. Well, I think we've reached the end of our time together, and we thank you for joining us and welcome you to come back next week. Have a great week, and God bless.